Welcome to the Finding Peace Within podcast with your host, Ms. Lisa L. Dalton. The Finding Peace Within podcast was created to help you find your authentic self through spiritual awareness. And you do it by studying the Word of God and doing the necessary things you need to do to find your peace within. Now, get your pens and pads as we take this journey to finding peace within. Together.
Hello, everyone. Once again, welcome to the Finding Peace Within podcast. You already know I'm your host, Ms. Lisa L. Dalton. Look, I have a treat for y'all today. I got my pastor. Yes, my pastor. Pastor Demetrius K. We got to find out what that K means. We got Demetrius K. Samuel in the house today. Actually, I am in his house, in his office here at the historic Sherman Memorial Church of God in Christ, 1401 Parkwood Avenue. The pastor is the new author. Okay, let me take this down. Past the Pulpit, our pastor has his first book, The Ultimate Test of Ministry, D.K. Samuel Sr. We're going to talk to Pastor Samuel today about this wonderful book. You see, I've got all my little tabs here. We're ready to talk and ask some deep questions. I want you to get your pens and pads as we take this journey to finding peace within, together. And we're going to find out how Pastor Samuel found his peace while writing this book. Let's go. As y'all can see, I got him here, right? My pastor, Pastor Demetrius K. Samuel, S-A-M-U-E-L, Senior, here on the Finding Peace Within podcast. Welcome to the podcast, Pastor.
Thank you for having me.
Man, I'm so excited to have you here. Look at Pastor.
I'm excited to be here.
Look, I am excited not only because you wrote a book. I'm excited because you're my pastor. You're my pastor, you're my friend, you and Lady Catherine. I tell her, now when we at church, you first lady, but when we out in the streets, you Catherine. Hi, first lady. I know you're somewhere. She behind the camera. But I'm excited to have you here on the show. Welcome.
Thank you.
Now, people may not know who Demetrius is. First of all, you got to say hey to the folk.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us today.
He's such a pastor. Pastor, who is Demetrius? And this is the deal. When we ask people, so y'all know I'm in the pause now, so y'all like my fan. Thank you. When people are asked, who are you, you know, my thing is, people say who they've become. Mm-hmm. When I ask, who are you? Who you are today is the person you were at 5. And I'm talking about the soul of the person. Because the caring Demetrius was the caring young Demetrius.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes,
you know, you were not an author at 12.
No.
You were not an author at 20. So who is Demetrius?
I'd like to say I'm just a regular guy.
What is a regular guy? Because to regular, to a street man may be regular to a church man. You got to go a little deeper than that.
Let me tell you.
Lisa is a contagious spark of hope.
Mm.
That's who I am.
That's a good definition, a good description.
So with that being said, who is Demetrius?
Well, my name means messenger.
Well, there you go.
So
you are a messenger. Have you always been the messenger?
As far as I can remember. Acknowledging it probably came in the late 20s. And it was really brought to my attention,
Thank you.
Brought to my attention by one of the four friends I talk about in the book.
Yeah,
actually, I call him Dr. Hobbs, Elder King Hobbs, who wrote the foreword to that book. He was the one who really, he was like, man, he said, you are a teacher to your core. He said, you're doing this when you wake up and going to bed. He said, it's all throughout the day. He said, it's not just at a podium. Mm-hmm. In the pulpit, he said, you're constantly teaching us, even as a group of friends. We were contemporaries, but he looked at it as me being the teacher in the group.
I know when you were saying the teacher, you and my husband, Stephen, have been friends for years, and you were, and probably still is, his mentor. Y'all did Bible studies together as he was growing in his ministry as well. How, and I know we'll get to the book, but I want to flow off of what you're saying, being the messenger and the teacher. How did that develop in you? Did you get it from your grandfather? Because you know you love your granddaddy.
I do.
You love granddaddy.
He was somebody, I would say master teacher.
Yeah.
Whenever he hit the floor to teach Bible study at the church or even to bring a message, he would always, his prayer was, Lord, help me to make it so plain that a fool won't err.
Yeah.
And he did it. He walked the book. I didn't grow up in the typical Kojic church with the preacher as a hooper. And he could hoop, he could go, but we hardly ever got that at home. He walked the floor with the Bible, like what I saw on television, Dr. Fred Price. Some of those other teachers. But that's what I got all the way. And I didn't appreciate it growing up. But now in life, I can understand the real value of that and understanding the Word of God. He was so well studied that when he heard other people reading the scripture, I mean, or if somebody was reading for him, he would correct them. I said, this man knew more scripture verbatim than I had ever even learned or heard for the first time.
And but did that make it easy for you to be the teacher? Because you teach that way. There are always points to ponder after church. I'm one that sits in the back and take lots of notes, and I'm waiting for the points
to ponder.
If you try to say that real fast, it's a tongue-tied twister, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you get that from the teaching and being the messenger, making sure people, you made it so plain that a fool could understand?
Well, I guess that kind of happened. It's been perhaps 3 or 4 years, I did points to ponder one time, and that was I wanted to capsulize the message in something that people could remember if they didn't remember the text, if they didn't remember all of the other things that I talked about, that they would remember these points that the message would point back to. I did it one time, and I always credit one of the ladies here, Evangelist Leek. She said, Pastor, you got to do the points to ponder. Please keep the points to ponder. She said, my girlfriends and I, we talk about that on Monday or Sunday night about what the message was about. And she said, we'll go through those points to ponder and, you know, can really discuss further the message, the lesson.
And with them being on the screen and the digital world we live in today, it's easy to take a screenshot.
And I've watched young people do that. And the first time I saw people doing that in the audience, I thought that was kind of weird, but that's what they would do.
That's what they do. They don't have a big composition book. They have their phones and they have their cameras. And they take the points to ponder in that scripture. And I'm sure hopefully that they're taking those things home and studying them and applying them to your life. Thank you for the points to ponder.
God bless you. Thank you.
Pass the pulpit, the ultimate test of ministry. How long had you been working on this book? And it is available on Amazon. I can't pronounce this word.
Zulon. Yes.
Barnes and Noble. Is it in digital yet?
.com. Yeah, it's in Kindle. Kindle has it, and Barnes and Noble does a
good
ebook. I can't think of the app for it.
Good. Awesome. go get the book. I have mine all marked up. It's a beautiful, easy read. Y'all know they say if you want us to know something, put it in a book. This book is only 59 pages. You can read it in a day, at least a week. You know, we all busy, but you can read it in a week. Okay. Pass the Pulpit. Where did the title come from?
So the title, I've actually been working on that book, believe it or not, 20 years. It took a different trajectory as I've gotten older. Mm-hmm. And the time and the experience of being senior pastor here at this historic church, it went in a different direction. Mm-hmm. Initially, it was designed to, as a like a mentor kind of thing for young ministers and young people coming into ministry. But then life happened.
Life
was lifing. And it took on a whole different route. So I scrapped a lot of what I had planned to put in. And then too, at the beginning of my writing, I was talking about things and stories that hadn't fully developed yet. Mm-hmm. And so over time, they have, and I can tell the story from that perspective after having witnessed and experienced some things. Mm-hmm. You asked about the title.
Yes.
The title.
Yeah, because I was getting ready to go to something else.
that came up when I, and a note in the beginning, in the introduction, I believe it is, mm-hmm. About the Series 7 exam.
Yes, you did.
Taking a test. Mm-hmm. And that was, 2001 or two. Taking the Series 7 exam, one of the things that they told us in preparation is there's more than one right answer to the mm-hmm. question. Your goal, your job, the task is to pick the most correct answer.
Yes.
And when we look at ministry and working in the church and dealing with souls and lives, everything is not always black and white.
Right.
There's shades of gray. There are areas mm-hmm. where you could go in multiple directions and still end up in a good place mm-hmm. or end up in a desired place. Mm-hmm. But it may be different routes to get there. But what would be the optimal way to travel? What would be the best way? What would be God's perfect will? And not just operating in his permissive will. Mm-hmm. So in life, we'll learn that there may be more than one correct answer, maybe more than one good answer, but what would be the best or the most appropriate? And so that's where that came from, looking at ministry and the pulpit assignment as a test. Because it's outside of, really, the work is outside of the four walls of the church.
Yeah.
It's life.
it's life. It's in life. The pulpit, meaning, and I love the picture. It actually looks like somebody's getting ready to get married. Mm. That's what it really looks like here. Okay. Is that what it was intended
that
to
be?
That
wasn't the intention, but it
looks like
pretty much.
Somebody's getting married here.
The spotlight on the cross.
But you... And we, because Jesus is married to us. He's married mm-hmm. to the backslider, you yes. know, and many souls. And we are his bride. Yes. So I get the picture. I get it. I get it. We are the bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ.
Amen.
When you in your dedication, you says, this book is dedicated to all those who pushed me to it, especially in those days when I couldn't see it being a reality. To every person who can find in my story the solace and strength to persevere through theirs. Here's to passing the test. Do you feel like you passed the test?
I do.
Good.
I do.
And you said that with such confidence.
I really do. I was just thinking the other day, I laugh at myself because I watched my grandfather And the things that bothered me so much about him, he was slow to speak. And he was going to pray about everything before he made a decision. Yeah. And I'm like, man, just do it. Yeah, I wait and ask him a question. And he said, well, and I'm like, okay, we about to be here all day. I just wanted to know if I could do this, do that. Like, the sun is going to go down before I get my answer. But it was always a lesson. And these are life lessons that he taught me. And they're things that I remember to this day. Just yesterday, I was sharing with a brother. One of the things he said to me that I won't ever forget. He said, son, he said, the worst thing that can happen to a grown man is to ever be taken as a joke. He said, you can outlive a whole lot of things.
Can you repeat that again?
The worst
thing. Speak into the camera and say that.
The worst thing that could ever happen to a grown man is to be taken as a joke.
Wow.
He says a whole lot of things you can recover from. He said it's hard to get back once people feel like they can't take you seriously or believe anything you say. It's a lot of work to
come back from that. And you talk a lot about character in your book, and we're gonna get to that. I want to go. I did circle. You've already talked about it. The series of the seven exams, and there's the most correct answer, and they're really now that we've come to the revelation of the grace of God, because we grew up with the wrath of God.
He didn't
have grace. Everybody's going to hell, fire and brimstone. We didn't want to get saved so we could enjoy the goodness of God. We got saved so we wouldn't go to hell. You're going to go to hell. Jesus is coming soon. He's coming tomorrow. Yeah. You better get your soul right.
Get your house in order.
Get your house in order because he's coming tomorrow. And you're going to go to hell. That's why we're always on the altar
That's the truth.
But we thank God for grace, because there is black and white.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are there absolutes in the walk?
There are absolutes in the walk. But I also, because of grace, in those areas where they're not absolutes, or when in the areas where we've not come up to the absolutes, he doesn't just cut us off.
Thank you, Jesus.
You got a chance. That doesn't mean linger in that and stay there.
What does Paul say? should we
continue in grace? Should we
continue in sin and
that grace abound. God forbid.
No. That means get it right.
Because
grace is only for a period of time.
And I think many times as Christians, we'll overlook that or excuse that or think it's not. And I said, grace does have limits.
Yes, it does.
Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. When you know better, do better.
Do better. The pulpit is a test of knowledge, emotional and psychological stability, spiritual conviction, and persuasive powers. Doctrinal proofs, integrity, faith, and most of all, character. How important is it to have character in the pulpit?
It is easier.
Can we do this? We identify what the pulpit is? Because most people believe and think the pulpit is that thing that sits up high.
They believe
that's the pulpit. But what is the pulpit?
So, if we want to look at it literally, the pulpit in the church, the stage, the platform. But in essence, what I'm really talking about is the stage of life, whatever platform that God has given you.
Yes.
The test that you have to deal with is going to be germane to your assignment.
Say that again.
The test that you have to deal with, I don't know if I can repeat it exactly.
Germane. it's a test of your assignment. Basically, what degree you went to college for, the test that you take will be based on what you learned.
What you said,
what you set your studies on.
Absolutely.
So if my studies was business management, I'm not going to have a test on science.
Amen. That's it. And so whatever you've been called to, that's what you're going to be tested on.
That's what you're going to be tested on.
You're not expected to pass a test that you hadn't studied for or material that you don't have. And so wherever area or whatever has been assigned to your hand, that's where you're going to be tested, because that's where you're going to find out what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are. I believe every preacher has a theme in their ministry. I've discovered, and it wasn't all that long ago, but the theme of my ministry has been faith. And I teach faith. That's what God has given me. That's my assignment. That's what I'm holding on to. And those that will be my audience, that's the message that they're hearing.
Because we believe God.
Absolutely.
I believe God.
Absolutely. Yes. And so knowing that, the things that I've had to deal with have been tests of my faith. You say I believe God, but what does that really mean?
Yeah.
I thought I had faith until I had to deal with the situation with my son.
Yeah, and we're going to get to that.
Yeah.
So how with that being said, how important is it for you to walk in integrity and character? Because, you know, we've known you, not just now, you know, we've known you when you were the pastor of Shiloh. We knew you guys when y'all came here, you know, when you were 21 or 2?
20.
23?
She was 21. I was 23.
Newlyweds.
24. 24.
So the entire 25 years of y'all's marriage, we've known y'all.
Absolutely. And we came here before our first wedding anniversary.
Yeah. And you talk about that in the book. Who you are today is the man you were then. For Lisa.
Okay.
That's what Lisa sees. And when I say who you are today is the man you were then, I'm talking character and integrity.
Wow.
Anything outside of that, I don't know. No. You know, it's like, I don't want to
awesome
know how the sausage is made. I just want to eat the sausage. That's all I want to do. I don't care what season is up, what you had to go through to get to it. You know, but how important is that in the pulpit?
I think, and Mother Anderson say this all the time, inconsistency is our greatest sin.
Yeah.
I think it's important for us to be consistent. Whenever I hear people talk about me, that's probably the one word that I hear more than anything else. People will tell you that he is consistent. I think that's a good thing. And I was alluding to earlier watching my grandfather and then finding myself having a lot of his temperament and the way he did things and all the things that irked me about him. I'm like, I'm doing those same things. But I mean, this guy was just so cool. And I look at my son, he's like the same
he
way.
Really
just
is.
Even
he is
tone just all the time, even at home. I mean, that's just,
that's
it's him.
That's who he is.
And I've watched myself come into that. Because I was a hothead when I was younger, but always I used to fight a lot. But then I would get always getting people. Let's nip this in the bud right now. And my granddaddy said to me, he said, "Son, you'll stop issuing out pieces of your mind." He said, "You ain't got that much in the first place." You know, and it's like,
you know,
what does that mean? But you don't have to address every situation. You don't always have to get stuff straightened out, you know. And so I've learned over time to be more even keel. Sometimes it's a matter of sitting back, watching, observing. You can get the whole story. You have more intel, more information. You can make an intelligent decision.
Yes.
And so I think that was an evolution process.
I'm sure. Because when we're, you know, young, you know, and driving 100, you know, we don't think that way.
Mm-hmm.
But now that we're mature and driving the speed limit, we have more time to think first.
Yes,
before
I like
we
that.
Do.
I like that.
You said the call can lead God's people only so far. The call we have seen fall and fail, even the mightiest of them. Why? Because they have not made their calling and their elections Sure. Let's talk about that, because unfortunately, there have been many who have fallen.
I think it's a lack of preparation.
Yeah.
And submitting to authority.
Mm.
You look at even the 12, those that Jesus dealt with, he didn't send anybody out unprepared.
Right.
It takes time to go through the preparation. That doesn't diminish the fact that God's called you. And many are called, but few are chosen.
Right.
The process of being chosen or being selected is, can you endure the process? Can you submit to leadership and authority? He that ministered, let him wait on his ministry. He that teaches, let him wait on teaching. Sometimes we get in a hurry, especially as young people, eager and excited.
Overzealous.
Yeah, overzealous. And then train wreck, shipwreck, because you took off without reading the manual. The word of God, the manual, the instructions, basic instructions before leaving earth. You know, haven't set under anybody. When I look at people who, you know, out evangelizing, doing whatever, who's your covering? Where did you come from? Where would you, who laid hands on you?
Yes.
Who spoke into your life?
Yes.
Who authorized you? God ordained you. Listen, a man can only ordain what God has preordained.
Right.
I understand that, but there is an order to this, an ecclesiastical order, and it's biblical for us to be subject to the powers that be and authorities.
Absolutely.
That's more than just the civic and the, you know, governmental, but in the spirit realm and in the church. Bishop Lockett say, church is the only place you can act crazy and get away with it.
Right.
People are quick to say, well, God knows my heart. Yes, he does.
Yeah, but your heart.
He knows your heart. Yeah. At some point, you can't use that as an excuse anymore. You got to come off of the milk and eat some meat.
Eat some good meat.
Some good meat. Yes.
You're right. And I'm still in the introduction, y'all. So just so you know, this will air January 7th.
Okay.
The entire month of January, leading up to the book signing.
Okay.
Which is January the 20th. Pastor's 50th birthday is the 19th.
Thank you. Jubilee.
And we're going to celebrate his book signing that Saturday. I don't have the address to where it's going to be, but we'll get that before we finish today. So the entire month of January is all about.
Okay.
Pass
the pulpit.
The pulpit. This is where the proof of love and devotion to God has to be stronger than the will to please people. It must be stronger than the desire to succumb to the temptation of self
aggrandizement.
Aggrandizement, y'all. What is aggrandizement? But before we get to that big word. This is where the heat of drive and the depth of compassion are proven. This is where the proof of love and devotion to God has to be stronger than the will to please people. The need to please people can cause a pastor to do what?
To stray off course. I can say I've been guilty of that, wanting approval.
Yeah.
Knowing good and well. God said, do this. And then I want to talk to people. Does this make sense? Is this rational? Should we look at it another way? And then if I modified or veered away from what God said, the only guaranteed success is our obedience to God and doing it in his will, the way that he said, do it. Because we have to understand there's a reason why he wants things done a certain way. He sees further past
what
we do. He knows the end from the beginning. We only know where we are in the moment. And sometimes we don't even know that. We're just dealing with it, where we are. And so trusting him as opposed to being a people pleaser, that's it. That's where we're guaranteed success.
Yeah. And the need to please will cause, and I believe we talked about this in Bible study last week, discord in the body of Christ.
Yes.
When
yes.
you're trying to please everyone, mm-hmm. there's only one vision,
yes.
and it's God's vision who gives it to the pastor. And so when we all have all our different things that we want to do, it creates this.
Mm. Chaos.
Chaos. But the proof of love and the devotion to God is learning how to say no to church folk.
Mm. What you say? That's it. That's good. That'll preach.
Because preach. Church folk will, because we're all so spiritual, mm-hmm. but God speaks to me too.
Yeah,
you know, he told me what we need to be doing, Pastor.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
that's your flesh telling mm-hmm. you what you want to tell me
yeah,
what
yeah.
needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
But the commitment to God is where the heart of the pastor is. That's what I'm hearing you say.
Yes, yes.
The commitment to God.
Commitment to God.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Would assignments coincide with being chosen? Is your assignment what you've been chosen and called and purposed to do? Is that your chosen purpose?
I would say being chosen is your release to the assignment. Being called, you're called to an assignment. He's not calling you to an oblivion. He's calling you to something specific. But as far as you accomplishing it and doing it, it's after you've been chosen, selected. That's authorization. And then the sending.
That's good. So it's kind of like David and Joseph back in the Old Testament. You know, they were young boys
mm-hmm.
when they were
called.
Paul. Y'all got that? They were young boys, not young men yet,
mm-hmm.
boys, when they were called. And then they were, the assignment came after the choosing?
Yeah.
Is
so
that
they,
what I'm
they
hearing
had to
you
be
say?
Equipped for, yeah.
And then yes. they were sent.
Then they were sent.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all got that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're out here without being chosen and an assignment and being sent, somebody, what's the scripture, Pastor? How can they go except they be sent? Something like
yeah,
that.
That's it. You just said that. Yeah.
Gotta be sent. Who mm-hmm. sent you out here? I sent myself. No. Can you talk more about the mishandling of God's people? Because when you state, there were countless lessons I learned during my tenure there, and there was as a young elder with your grandfather.
Well, that would be
here.
Yes,
well, under the late Bishop Anderson,
yes.
C.E. Anderson. On one hand, many lessons were simply teaching me what not to do
mm-hmm.
and how not to mishandle God's people. On the other hand, much knowledge was transferred from an experienced leader who understood the fragility of human psyche and emotions. Let's talk about the emotions and the psyche of the saints and how it is mishandled, and how do you do that as a pastor? And at what point did you know you passed that test?
Yeah. I think a pastor is different even than some of the preachers and teachers we see, evangelists, apostles, all
mm-hmm.
that. The pastor's heart is for the sheep. He's mm-hmm. the shepherd at heart. When you see people who have a gift and no compassion, ego, and it doesn't make them any less anointed, called, selected, chosen, but we still have volition as human beings. We can mess up. The Apostle Paul said, listen, he said, let every man be a liar, mm-hmm. or what God said be the truth. He said, if I come to you preaching a different message than what you're hearing today, he said, count me as a curse. Mm-hmm. I'm teaching blasphemy and contradictory of the gospel message. He said, even me. There are people who mess up. They say, and they become manipulative. Mm-hmm. They know how to excite the people and get mm-hmm. their emotions stirred up to get what they want, which may be money or financial gain or whatever. A pastor doesn't do that. Mm-hmm. See, you have those, the Bible talks about ravenous wolves mm-hmm. coming in, and then those in sheep's clothing. Under that disguise. It's a fine line for some. Who we are, and at the core of our being, even after salvation, there are some things we have to be careful of that we don't slip back into our old nature, old habits. And something we've seen that in the church, and being in a place which was the congregation is much larger than where I grew up. And the number of preachers that have come here, I, as the ministerial president, which was a whole nother experience because I was the youngest on the staff, and they let me know they didn't appreciate that.
I wrote like, some about that in here too. Why you gonna come in here and get my job? I've been here longer than you.
All this time.
I'm older.
And I'm like, Bishop, why you do me like that? Yeah, I know all the scriptures. I was like, Bishop, why you do me like that?
But did you have a heart for the people?
I developed that. Well, I think I had a heart.
I know you had an
awareness.
But the ones that wanted the job, did they have a heart for the people?
They saw the glitz and the glamour and how the pastor is celebrated.
Right.
And they wanted it. I want that. But that didn't happen overnight.
Right.
There was a rapport that was built up and relationships that were established and being there for people. The ministry of presence mm-hmm. Is major. And so the pastor is the pastor 24/7, always on call, always on duty. Never know when
just
that
like
call is going to come in, just like a doctor. And you have to be ready to respond. And people are not looking for call me tomorrow between mm-hmm. such and such a time when I need you right now.
Right.
And it's standing in the gap to pray. The expectation is, and is that fair? No. But who said that it would be? When you signed up for this, you accepted. It came with the assignment.
With the assignment. Make your calling and election sure. Mm-hmm. And be sure that you are willing to endure and go all the way with this. Man, I hope y'all have been enjoying this interview with Pastor Samuel talking about his new book, Past the Pulpit, The Ultimate Test of Ministry. I know I enjoyed it. It was 2 hours long. I had to break it up into 4 parts. So you just finished watching part 1. Stay tuned next week for part 2 as we dive deeper into his new book. You can go to his website, dksministries.com, and order the book. The book is on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Exelon, X-U-L-O-N. I'll put it here at the bottom of the screen. Go support my pastor, man. He is an amazing man of God, one who I trust my growth in the Lord with. So if you have not gotten the book yet, go right now and get the book. We'll see you next week. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Finding Peace Within podcast with Lisa L. Dalton. Now don't forget to connect with Lisa on all her social media outlets. Just Google her name, Lisa L. Dalton, or Finding Peace Within, and you'll find her there. And remember this, a centered soul is a centered mind. Be blessed.